Why don't you open in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. And this morning, I'm going to talk a little bit about an aspect of healing. You know, we try to focus on healing for these classes. It doesn't always happen. And I'd like to start picking up some messages now about different aspects of healing. And so this morning, I'm going to be sharing a message along those lines about personal healing. And actually, what precipitated this message for me, what prompted it, was I was reading this book, God's Healing Word by Trina Hankins. And it's basically a testimony that she gives. She had had an inoperable brain tumor. And I don't know how many years ago this was, but just right at the very beginning, she makes a statement in here that just, you know, sometimes you read things or you hear things that just prompt a line of thinking for you. And then for me, what happens is I'll get on that, I'll think about that, and I can't get away from it. And so I think, okay, this is something that I would, you know, maybe do some teaching along the lines of. But she's just talking about being the importance of being grounded in the Word. And this just was one little paragraph here. She's talking about the importance of being grounded, and she says, being grounded upon this rock of healing held me through a dreadful storm soon to come. Some people are like a man who had a hole in his roof and didn't see the need to fix it because it wasn't raining. When it did begin to rain, it was too late. He had waited too long and couldn't fix it. Don't wait until you need healing to get grounded in faith for healing. Instead, build your faith up so that when the evil day comes, you will stand and keep standing. And so that just kind of stirred me up a little, prompted me that this is something that we probably need to talk about again, because I think this is so true. You know, as leaders in the body, sometimes we get concerned because we see that people are facing these challenges in life, but oftentimes they don't. They're not ready for the challenges. And I think what's interesting when we get here, start reading in Ephesians chapter 6, you know, first of all, it mentions something that people just don't want to hear, and that's about the evil day. Now, the evil day isn't talking about some day down in the future. It's talking about things, challenges that we're all going to face in life. Don't we? We all face, haven't you faced an evil day? Haven't you faced something that was a really challenging to you? Maybe it was a financial challenge. And I know there's times my husband and I, just in casual conversation, I'll use that word. I'll say, oh, that's just evil. Because you recognize that it's not a blessing. It's not good. And oftentimes these things are coming. People don't want to accept it. People don't want to face it. People don't even want to hear you talk about the fact that they're going to have to fight some things in life, that they're going to have to face some difficulties. And you know, I think what's interesting about that little passage that I read there, that little example that I read, is that evil days are going to visit us just as surely as it's going to rain. Now, you know it's going to rain someday, isn't it? It's probably going to rain again here in the next, hopefully it'll be rain, within the next couple of weeks or so, you know that it's going to rain. Rain is going to come. But a lot of times people think that just even thinking or considering that there might be an evil day is going to make that evil day come. No, we have to acknowledge that evil days will come. We will experience evil days. We will experience difficult things or challenges in life. But just considering challenges will come is not inviting them to come. It's just acknowledging that they're going to come. And what would a wise person do knowing that evil days will come? Prepare. You'll be prepared. And so I guess the challenge when it comes to physical healing is that, are we prepared for an evil day? Are we prepared for the fact that physical challenges may come at times? You know, we've shared our own testimonies. I have shared my own testimonies about things that I've faced, and the fight that you face when that evil day comes, that's not the time to get up on the roof and start patching the hole, is it? That isn't the time. But how many Christians are like that? They think, well, when it starts raining, I'll get up there and I'll patch that hole in my roof. How difficult would it be to patch the hole when it's raining? You're standing up there. It's dangerous. Maybe it's a thunderstorm. It's windy. There's lightning striking all around. Is that a safe time to be up there patching the hole? No, because of the wind and the rain and the storm and all the things that you're going to have to face or deal with. And so the question is not will we face challenges? That's not the question. The question is, when the challenges come, are we ready for them? And this is a wonderful book. I would encourage you to all get it. I don't know where it can be purchased, probably online at Mark Hankins. Amazon's got it? Okay. Because it's full of healing confessions in the back. And there's also, I don't have it in here, I took it out, but there's a disc of Mark Hankins reading healing scriptures and healing confessions. It's very good. But those are the types of things that are really good for you to prepare yourself with. And sometimes, you know, people just don't even like to hear about being prepared for evil days. I'd rather be prepared for an evil day than not be prepared for the evil day, since evil days are coming. Amen. There's going to be challenges. You're going to face challenges in life. You're going to face physical challenges. You're going to face financial challenges. You're going to face them, all arenas of life. You will be challenged. Why? Because we have an enemy who wants to stop us, who wants to thwart the plan of God, wants to keep us from fulfilling the things that God has for us to do. And so, you know, oftentimes, the other concern I have as a pastor is that sometimes people just have this kind of casual understanding about evil days coming. They just assume that, well, if something like that were to come to me, I would be able to deal with that. And they base that on the fact that it's because it's God's will for them to be healed, or it's God's will for them to prosper. Let me ask you this. How many of you know that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth? Is every man, woman, and child on the earth coming to the knowledge of the truth? Are there still people perishing? Does that make it not God's will because people are perishing? Does that make it not God's will for people to be saved? No. It is God's will for people to be saved, but yet people are being lost. Why? Because they haven't come to the knowledge of the truth. They haven't put faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. And so every one of the principles, these truths that are parts of the atonement which was purchased for us at the cross, even these things such as healing, even though they belong to us, you have to exercise faith to appropriate them and to realize them or to experience them. And so just knowing it's God's will to heal isn't enough. It's not enough. You have to receive that. You have to receive that. It means take it to yourself. It's like reaching out and, hey, if I were to stand up here in hand, hold out a $100 bill and say, here, it's for you. If you don't come up and take it, you have to physically come up and take it. You have to come up and appropriate it to experience the benefits of that. So my question is, why wait until it rains to patch the hole in the roof? Why wait until sickness strikes or financial crisis strikes or relationship crisis strikes to patch the hole? It's too late then. And that's why we lose people. That's why we see people die prematurely. People go home to be with the Lord prematurely, or people never recover from things because they waited too long. And what's the danger of waiting too long? Well, I think the danger in waiting too long is that that the more severe the situation is, the more difficult it is to believe your way through it. Not because it's difficult for God, it's because it's difficult for you. Do you remember the account when Jesus came down off of the Mount of Transfiguration with his disciples? And the first thing that he encountered when he came down was other disciples trying to deal with a young boy who was demon-possessed, and he would throw himself in the water and he'd throw himself in the fire, and they were not able to help him. The disciples hadn't been able to deal with this young boy. And so the father, of course, came to Jesus looking for help. And later the disciples asked, well, why couldn't we help him? What was the deal with that? And he said, it's because of your unbelief. The more serious the situation is oftentimes, the more difficult the physical challenge is, or the financial challenge is, or even a relationship challenge is, we're surrounded. That is reminiscent of the story of the man who built his house on sand. When the winds came and the flood came. See, symptoms of sickness or financial attacks are like the wind and the flood. And you're so encumbered by those things, and your attention is so drawn to them that it's very difficult to focus on truth and to focus on the answer when you know, Bernard just reminded me of a dream that he had, and in this dream, the body was being challenged about the wind. Do not consider the wind. And yet what happens is so often we consider the wind when we're in the middle of a situation, when we're going through a physical challenge. You know, I've shared my testimony many times about when I had that neck injury. It was basically a self-imposed thing from sitting at the computer wrong for day after day after day, and I pinched some things and caused some damage in my neck. And so I had partial paralysis in my right arm, and a lot of pain and weakness and headaches from that. And, you know, I did what I knew to do as far as seeking medical attention, but of course what they wanted to do is surgery. Well, it's like, wait a minute now. I don't want somebody messing with my neck, first of all. To me, that's serious stuff. I didn't want somebody messing with my neck. We just determined we were going to take a stand on what we knew the truth to be. And, you know, I have spent time putting the word in. Just because you're prepared doesn't mean that the rain won't come. Sometimes I think people get into that ditch. They think, well, if I study enough and if I meditate in the word and if I put the word in, then nothing bad will ever happen to me. Ha! No, that's not the case at all. That's why we have to be prepared, because evil days are coming. And so here in Ephesians chapter 6, this passage is about the whole armor. This is not a teaching on the whole armor of God. This is just a teaching to remind us that we will face evil days and what we have to do to be prepared for evil days. Finally, my brethren, verse 10, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So right there, it's telling us that if we're going to stand against the wiles of the devil, and isn't it interesting? It doesn't say attacks of the devil or sickness or disease. It says the wiles. Why? Because that's the first place the devil attacks. Right here. Right here is where it comes first. The first thing that happens when a symptom strikes us is what happens? We go into high gear. What is this? What am I dealing with? What is this? What could the, oh, it might be this, it might be that. So the wiles, the deceptions, the strategies of the devil are the first thing that strikes us. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, or because of this, because we have an enemy, and we have an enemy that knows what he's doing, an enemy that's pretty well organized, because of this, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So here it's telling us that there is an evil day coming, and it's telling us exactly what we need to do to be ready for that evil day. Take unto you the whole armor of God. It's interesting because twice in this passage it tells us to take the armor of God. You take it. You have to take this. This is something we have to be actively involved in, is taking the armor of God. And the word evil here means hurtful or full of labors, annoyances, hardships, pressed and harassed by labors, toil, annoyances, perils. In a physical sense, it's used of sickness, disease, and infirmity. And so you can see it covers the whole gamut of things, the types of distresses that human beings face in life. But he tells us, look, those things are going to come. But you know what? You can stand. Again, going back to the account of in Matthew chapter 7 two ways we could build our house, the storms came, didn't they? But the storm didn't affect the person who had their house built on the right foundation. So are we prepared? Have we prepared? Have we built our homes, our lives upon a rock that can't be washed away, that can't be blown away when symptoms come, when pressures come, when lack tries to rear up on our face, when relationships seem to be dissolving in our lives, those types of issues that every human being face, what are we built on? What is our heart established in? And that, of course, you know, is the heartbeat of this church is helping people get their hearts established in the life-changing principles of God's word. Why? Because the evil day will come to everyone. And let's not wait until the evil day comes to build our church, to build our house, to get our house founded, or to patch that roof because there's holes in the roof. Amen. We live in a fallen system. We live in a time when the devil is trying to make life as miserable as he can for believers. Of course, that's been his goal all along, but it seems like he's ramping it up. But there is an evil day coming, and he tells us here in Ephesians 6, verse 13, that you have to do this to be able to withstand. First of all, to withstand, you have to be able to do it. This word withstand is interesting. This is the word resist, or to oppose. A lot of Christians, they know they should resist the devil when the attacks come. They know they should oppose it when it comes, but they don't have what it takes. They haven't taken the whole armor of God into themselves. They're not even able to resist the enemy when he comes. They don't even have an arsenal to draw on. They don't have the weaponry. They haven't tested the weapons even to even be able to stand and to oppose the enemy, to resist when that fiery dart comes. They don't even know what to say when the fiery dart comes. You know, most cases they'll go tell somebody what they're facing or what they're dealing with, but they don't know how to oppose it. They don't know how to stand against it. And that's exactly what this word withstand means. It means to stand against, to oppose, or to resist. And you know what I say? From the onset. Do it from the onset. Don't call the doctor first and then resist the devil. Resist the devil first. Amen? The minute the symptom hits, the minute it hits, don't start questioning. Just oppose it, resist it. But you have had to have done some things, first of all, to even be in a place to do that. You see that? So it says you have to withstand in the evil day. Again, not if an evil day comes, but when it comes. And then it says, and having done all. So my question is, have we done all? Have we done everything it's going to take to stand? What are we doing? You know, sometimes people want to know, well, what should I do for daily devotions? You know, I just haven't settled on a daily devotional thing. Well, this is a good thing to do. Get the word out. Find scriptures on that reinforce your God-given right to walk in divine health, your God-given right to walk in divine provision, your God-given right to live life to the fullest and to fulfill your days. You know, we were just talking about that yesterday. I don't know how many of you saw the news here. Brother Charles Capps went home to be with the Lord last month. And I didn't even know. I got a newsletter or letter from his daughter, Annette, on email the other day. And I hadn't even heard that he had gone home. And so we were trying to figure out how old he was. Only 80 years old. And so we were talking about that a little bit. It seems like that generation of wonderful men of God, Brother Hagin, Brother Summerall, some of those, they just didn't live as long as we thought they would. But I don't know that truth of living long, with long life, was a prevalent belief with them. Now, this generation, people are standing for that, believing for that. The Copelands, you know, have kind of brought that out and got people stirred up looking at, look, God says, with long life, I'll satisfy you. And we confess that every time we take a meal. We confess that we're healed, that we're going to fulfill the number of our days in good health. You know, we determine how many days we want to go. And so we were just, you know, kind of disappointed that he was gone. And we were disappointed when Brother Hagin went home. Now, did they miss it? No, they didn't miss it. They just, that wasn't something that was as emphasized for that generation as I believe this. If Jesus tarries, I believe we'll see this generation live longer. People will live into their ripe old hundreds, perhaps, instead of 80, you know, years ago. 80 would have been ancient for some people. And some, probably the kids today still think that's ancient, but it really isn't. 80's looking younger all the time. We still have a few years before we hit 80, but so we are supposed to take the armor of God so that we can, first of all, even just resist the devil to begin with. You know, if in my own personal case, for the different things I faced healing-wise, if I hadn't had that in me to withstand or to oppose, I might have succumbed to the surgery. And I'm not against that. I'm not against surgeries, but I think God has a better way. And I think, again, that is a personal conviction. You have to know what's the right thing for you. Surgery is right for some people. And there's, if I could help them get the surgery, I would do it if that's where they were at. We have to locate where our faith is. But I believe so much in the power of God's word, the life-changing principles of God's word, and that we have to be established and grounded in them and prepared with them for that when that evil day is coming. If you're taking notes today, just write it down. An evil day is coming. Oh, that's a bad confession. No, it's just being realistic. It's no different than why do we purchase insurance? Who here has life insurance? You have to have car insurance, but you have car insurance. You have health insurance. Why? Because you know we're vulnerable human beings. We make mistakes. We miss it at times. We have insurance for just in case an evil day comes. All the confessing in the world is not going to keep an evil day away. It's going to come. They're going to come. Physical attacks are going to come. Financial challenges will come. Relational issues, challenges will come to us in life. What are we doing? What are we doing to be prepared? Start today. If you're not doing it, start today. Start working confessions of the Word of God regarding your health and healing, regarding your financial wellness, regarding your relationships. Start working that into your daily devotions today. That's like being up there on the roof patching it. You're not waiting for the evil day to come. You're being prepared for the evil day because the evil day is going to come. Stop saying that. Stop it. Stop it. Look, it's not going to make it come. It's not going to keep it from coming. It's going to prepare us for when it does come. So that when the winds blow and when the rains rage and it feels like everything is going crazy around us, we are safe and secure because we've built our health, we've built our finances, we've built our marriages, our friendships, we've built our relationships, we've built our life on the rock of God's word that cannot be moved, no matter what the symptoms are or the circumstances are. So he says, do this so that you can withstand. And again, you know, just the scriptures that are so easily and readily available to us. James 4:7 says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. You know, the devil cannot stand against us when we resist him from a place of position of faith. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, you may be the kind of person who has no natural enemies. You may get along with everybody, but I'll tell you what, you've got an adversary. He's just an unseen adversary. And it says he's walking about seeking somebody to devour. You know what he looks for? He looks for holes in roofs. He looks for people who are not prepared. He looks for people who are just weak in faith. That's what he's looking for. It says resist him steadfast in the faith. But you have to have taken the whole armor of God to be able to withstand or to resist in the first place. So often, you know, people have just feeble attempts to resist things when they come because they're just not established in the word of God yet. The word stand here just means to hold your ground. Don't you want to hold your ground? When attacks come, you want to hold what belongs to you. I want to hold on to my health. I want to hold on to the money God's entrusted to me, that he's given me to steward. I want to hold on to my friendships, my relationships, my marriage. I want to hold on to them. Well, I'm not going to do that by reading self-help books and studying self-help books. I'm going to do that because God's word, the armor of God, is my armor. I've field tested it. I've gone through basic training. You know, what soldier waits until he's in the heat of battle to get his armor? No, he's suited up. He's tested his armor. He's gone through rigorous training. You know, they do the, you know, you see the thing where they take their guns apart with their eyes blindfold and then clean their guns and put them back together. And I don't know how true all of that is, but they're familiar with their weapons. Are we as familiar with our weapons? Have we done all to stand? That's how important this is. Because again, the evil day will come, and evil days are coming. And you know, we're seeing it in a political sense. What are we doing? What are we doing when we hear the evil reports that are coming out on the news on a daily basis? The things that are coming. So oftentimes people go, "Oh, that's not going to affect us. You know, that isn't going to affect me. That's in another part of the world. That's somewhere else." Well, you know, it could come here. It could come and visit us too. So just having the armor available doesn't mean you're protected automatically. You have to take it. again, twice in that passage, it says, first of all, put it on that you may be able to stand. And then, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor that you may be able to withstand and to stand. So twice there, it tells us that we have to do something with this armor. It won't protect us automatically. Even though all of those things are available to us, we have to do something with those pieces of armor in order to, first of all, be able to resist effectively and then hold our ground, not lose any ground. So have we done all to stand? Listen to the Young's literal translation. Because of this, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to resist in the day of the evil, and all things having done to stand. So we have to ask ourselves, have I done what I know to do? Am I spending time feeding on God's word, meditating on God's word? Have I gotten my heart established in these principles of God's word so that when those evil attack days come, I'm ready. I'm ready for it. You know, it's like having a savings account. You know, they say have a save for the rainy day. You know, why? Because they know rainy days are going to come. We should have something in a savings account for when rainy days come so that we are not desperately scrambling trying to figure out what we're going to do to get through that rainy day. It's preparation. And the word has a lot to say about preparation, doesn't it? On all different planes, it talks about being prepared for the day of the Lord's return. The parable of the 10 virgins. They were to be prepared and ready to have their lamps ready and trimmed and ready to go. How prepared are we on all levels of life? Are we prepared for the Lord's return? Are we looking? Are we anxiously watching for it? It says he's coming for those that are looking for him. Not just for those who are living their Christian lives, but for those who are looking and watching for him. That's who he's coming for. There's a whole lot of preparation, preparedness that God has commanded us about in his word. So we're to have our loins girt, we're to have on the... I mean, these are just all different aspects of God's word. Having our loins girt with the truth, having the breastplate of righteousness on, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, having the shield of faith. All of these are action words. Taking the shield of faith, taking the helmet of salvation, taking the sword of the Spirit, and which is the word of God. All of these are actions. They're all actions that we partake in. I believe all of these are fulfilled by us getting our hearts established in the truth of God's word, being grounded in the word, and being in faith about it. So that when the evil days come, the first thing that rises up out of us is resistance. And is fighting back and not giving in or not giving place and not just yielding to the things that the enemy tries to bring to us. I'm trying to find, I wrote the scripture down that I thought was really good. Translation, well, maybe I'll still find it. I just don't see it here. The Message Bible, just to kind of wrap this up. Exactly what the Message says. The Message Bible says that about wraps it up. God is strong and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps. A life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all of his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. See, that's, let me just stop there. That's what meditation does. Doesn't Joshua 1:8 says that if you spend time meditating in God's word day and night, that you will observe how to do the word. A lot of Christians just, they know what the word says. They have no idea how to practically walk it out in their lives. Well, meditation shows us. As you spend time meditating in God's word, you'll see yourself walking out that portion of the word. So he says, learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up that no one falls behind or drops out. So this is just an encouragement. Not this shouldn't be a doom and gloom or dismal type of thing. This should be something that we all acknowledge that evil days will come. Challenges will come. Difficult times will come. How stable are we going to be through those difficult times? How much will we be affected when the wind begins to blow and the rain begins to pound on our life and the symptoms show up or the financial challenges show up or an important relationship seems like it's dissolving before our eyes? How are we going to be moved by that? The more severe the symptoms, oftentimes the more difficult it is for people to stand stable. You know, have you ever noticed just having a bad headache? How it affects your ability to just get your thoughts right and straight? I mean, those things have a powerful effect and influence over us. And I think sometimes we deceive ourselves thinking, oh, I'll be able to handle that. You have to be undergirded and reinforced before it even comes, so that when it comes, that will be your default. Your default will be immediately to the Word and to those realities of God's Word, and not looking at and considering what the symptom would mean or what it might do. Now, I'm not saying that we ignore things. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying our first line of defense should always be the truth, God's Word, because it'll pull us through all the time. Amen. So just a word of encouragement and exhortation that this is something every believer should be doing. Get a Brother Katz's book. He's got a great little book. His site and all of his materials will still be available. They'll continue to make them available. Get books that have confessions about divine healing and the different areas of attack that we're going to all encounter at some point in time. Get those out. When I went through my own challenge, I three or four times a day, I would get Brother Caps's little book out. What's it called? God's Creative Power. I got that little book out three or four times a day and took it. You know, if your doctor had prescribed medication to you and told you had to take this three times a day, you would take it, wouldn't you? Well, you should. If you expect it to work, if you expect to get the results from it, you would take that medicine, wouldn't you? Now, you wouldn't go back to the doctor. If you weren't taking your medicine, you wouldn't go back to the doctor and say, this stuff doesn't work. A lot of Christians are saying this stuff doesn't work. They're disappointed with their experience in the things of God, but they haven't been taking their medicine. They haven't been taking it regularly. They're waiting until they get sick. They're waiting until it starts raining to get up and patch that hole in their roof. It's too late then. That's why we lose people. It's too late. If you're not in faith, you know, we can do the best we can to agree with them and extend our faith around them, but it still comes down to what do you believe in your heart? That's another whole message. You know, we can come alongside and we can encourage and exhort, but we cannot carry people. We cannot do it. We've seen too many people go home prematurely because of this. So this right now is the time. It's like taking vitamins. I guess this would be more like taking vitamins than medicine. Start getting your body healthy, your spiritual man healthy. Take your vitamins. Exercise. These are spiritual exercises so that you're ready for the evil day. Not if, but when it comes, when the attacks come, when the pressures come, when the things come that are going to face every single believer, as Ephesians 6 says, the evil day, when it comes, that you'll not only be able to withstand, but to stand. Amen? Amen. All right. Glory. There are lots of little good little books out there with confessions in them. After a while, you won't need the book. You'll just be able to sit there and just have it flow out of you. That's when you know your heart's established, when it just can flow. Amen? Amen.